to their construction projects for the third straight month in May. It's a possible sign that the shortage of houses for sale might grow even worse for potential buyers. The Commerce Department says housing starts were down 5.5%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. It is I, Chauncey Hallworth, and my sidekick.
You sound so disappointed.
And my sidekick.
I thought I'd be someone else today.
Sean, yeah, I woke up this morning, I thought I'd be somebody else. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh, you're built for radio. Yeah, no, I just got off work, and so,
yeah,
you know.
Well. Yeah, say no more on that.
Off work and into work and off work and into work, you know. It's the American way, though. I'm a good American.
Yeah. Well, we talk about horror stories on this show, but modern life.
Right.
There's the...
Nothing's more horrific than my suburban nightmare.
Exactly.
Except, possibly, the concept of our show this evening.
Ah, good segue.
Yeah, wasn't it? So tonight our guest is... From the Destination America show, Killing Bigfoot, Jim Lansdale. And, you know, all the topics that we have on this show are, I don't know if controversial is right, but believing in them is somewhat controversial. But this one is a controversy in a controversy,
yeah.
Which is interesting because, you know, there are a lot of Bigfoot researchers out there.
There are.
And they are very... devoted, and a lot of them have fallen in love with Bigfoot, thinking he's a he/he. I don't want to genderfy Bigfoot, but that they are these gentle, loving creatures that you know, time forgot. And then we have Jim Lansdale and his crew,
who are all about the title of their show,
right. Their group
Killing
is called the GCBRO, and they are out to bring in a body.
Right.
Yeah. And so...
well, I can see the controversy there.
I can. You know, I can. I can see, you know, that it upsets a lot of people, especially in a time when Cecil the Lion, you know,
yeah,
those sorts
true.
Of things are in the news, you know.
I think it's a little different, though, and, you know, coming into it, I feel as though I would come down on the side of killing Bigfoot.
Really?
For this reason, you know.
You seem so passive, Joe.
it's not like a lion or anything. It's, you know, this animal that has been disbelieved by the broad scientific community.
Right.
For, you know, some 50, 60 years, however long it's been.
Mm-hmm.
It would be practically unprecedented in a scientific sense if suddenly a body were to turn up.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
So I think, you know, the loss of one magnificent primate, you know, it's probably worth it in the grand scheme of history and science and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, most people that I talk to in preparation for this show... just to give a little background, this show comes from Redding, California, and people think of California as being, you know, very liberal, very, very Hollywoodified, that we all surf and all that.
Yes.
Redding is not that. Redding is definitely the conservative hub of California, and there's a lot of hunting going on here, a lot of agriculture and stuff like that. So you're going to find a little bit more of an open attitude towards this around
sure.
here. But almost everybody I spoke to said... No, man, leave Bigfoot alone. Why you gotta kill Bigfoot? And then I would explain that
they're not hunting him for meat or fur.
Right, that they're trying to bring in a body because that's basically the way science has worked throughout since the dawn of science. And even then, they're all, well, just let it go. But you could tell that they kind of backed off a little bit there once you brought up the way that, you know, science works.
I think, you know, finding footprints or a body that died of natural causes or hair samples or any number of other things would also be perfectly acceptable. But if someone brought in a body, I would say, well, I would not say, you monster. I would say, well done.
Right, right. Yeah, and Andrea, our social media guru, I don't know, what do you call somebody who takes care of your social media? She had a good point.
Basically the savior of the show.
Right. She had a good point when she was talking to Jim about it, basically saying that if she was camping and Bigfoot jumped out of the bushes, they'd probably freak out and shoot it.
Right.
You know, be absolutely terrified. So, I don't know if you have an opinion on killing Bigfoot. Let's keep it respectful, but give us a call at 530-605-4567. And, you know, this should be an interesting one.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
And I got to point out that Joe is not here. Joe has moved away, so he'll be back and forth. But Joe's favorite topic is cryptids.
Well,
and
he'll be here in spirit.
Yeah, Joe.
Though that would be more appropriate for Ghost Show.
Right, right. Well, let's hope he's not here in spirit. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. We'll be back with our guest, Jim Lansdale from Killing Bigfoot.
So soon you'll take me up in your arms, too late to beg you, or cancel it though I know it must be. So cruelly you kissed me, your lips a magic world, your sky all hung with jewels, the killing moon will come too soon. Fate up against your will, through the thick and give yourself to
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Powerhouse Solar has been putting the sun to work for you since 2003. And now, Powerhouse Solar has been named a SunPower Elite Dealer. That means Powerhouse Solar has joined a network of more than 1,800 solar companies worldwide that sell, install, and service SunPower products. So is it a big deal? Yeah, it is. To earn Elite Dealer accreditation, a SunPower dealer must achieve a 90% or greater customer satisfaction score on past installations and successfully complete two advanced certification courses in topics like the installation and design of a high-efficiency SunPower system. And Powerhouse Solar has done that and gone well above it. Powerhouse Solar selected for their commitment to providing customers with outstanding service and delivering the most effective and reliable solar technology that is available. Powerhouse handles every step of the solar process, including system design, installation, and maintenance, as well as financing, permitting, and rebate processing. There's a bunch of it. They know it. They're experts. Call today, 275-5600. That's 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar.
Here's another energy-saving tip from REU, Redding's Electric Utility. Do you have a pool? Consider replacing your current pool pump with an ENERGY STAR-rated variable-speed pool pump and potentially save hundreds of dollars per year. Also, operating pool pumps before 2:30 p.m. and after 6:30 p.m. reduces demand on the electric grid. Good for you, great for our community. For more energy-saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
For over 10 years, we've danced to support survivors of domestic violence and sexual abuse. Now One Safe Place invites you to the 11th annual Dancing with the Stars, Shasta County Style, on July 8th at the Cascade Theater in Reading. Join the 2017 cast as they compete for the ultimate prize, the Champions Trophy. Get your tickets to the show and vote for your favorite dancer at ospshasta.org or call 244-0118. Sponsored by Partnership Health, Results Radio, KRCR Channel 7, and KCBU Fox Channel 20. One Safe Place, together we change lives.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And we are here with our guest tonight, Jim Lansdale from the Destination America show, Killing Bigfoot. Hi, Jim, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, not bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Finally had another rainstorm come through, and that seems like the norm for down here now.
You know,
where I go, I get rained on.
Yeah, it seems like the norm here, too, which it is definitely not the norm, but our weather is oddly wet for this time of year. Reading, the town where we're from, Reading, you know, it'll get into the 110s in the summer.
Goodness.
Well,
it was 96 here with heat index, and then we had a thunderstorm, but I was in Oregon last week for a few days, and it was cold and rainy the whole time I was there, so I guess the rain follows me around.
Right. Well, you know, before you got involved with the show and everything like that, were you a Bigfoot researcher to begin with? How did you get started with your interest in Bigfoot?
Well, I really wasn't a Bigfooter by any means. I mean, I was skeptic full-blown. just one night years ago, about 25, 26 years ago, my oldest son and I drove down to our deer camp, and I put him a little feeder, a perforated feeder where you have to shake it for the corn to fall out on a tripod. And we drove in, and we turned in to the point of the headlights at the feeder, and there was something squatted there sideways to us, had its hands or feet or paws on the feeder, and it was shaking it. And it was there for a few seconds, you know. I mean, probably 35, maybe 40 yards. I can't recall exactly, but not far. And then it dawned on it, oh, crap, there was headlights. And so it turned, and it looked at us, huge red eyes about the size of a Coke can. It stayed there just for a few seconds. We got a pretty good look, I guess. I just didn't know what it was. And then it bolted on all fours and went to a hawthorn thicket. I noticed the legs. It was real heavy through the thigh and the buttocks area, kind of narrow, slimmer in the calf area but I thought it should be, you know. But my son asked me, he said, Dad, what is that? And, you know, I didn't know. It never dawned on me that that was a Bigfoot. I mean, I never even thought of a Bigfoot. I don't know what I thought about, but I just, he asked me what it was, and I told him, I said, son, I have no idea what that is.
All right.
And then the next year, we're getting the place ready to hunt, and going down this iron bridge down here off of Red Clay Hill. I'm cutting some limbs, and he's hustling them off the road, and we get up to this area where my dad-in-law had poured out a pile of maize for some quail. And inside, something with three toes, about 9, 9.5 inches, stepped in that maze. And it looked like a human track, other than it just had three toes, and the big toe was a little bit larger than what we would consider a human toe. And I know we walked around that track for an hour before we, you know, finally saw the other track that was in the maze, and the other track was 19.5 inches. So we had two tracks in this maze. One was 9 inches, 9.5, the other one was 19, 19.5. And that's how I got started right there. I knew something was there.
I see. So I assume you started your group at that point prior to the show getting started.
Oh, yeah. Our group, Bobby and I have been together since, I think, 97, something like that. I worked about 5 years, 6 years by myself, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. And I contacted Bobby, and then Bobby and I've been together ever since.
Now I know there's
GCBRO.
Right. Now I know there's a lot of pushback in the Bigfoot community towards your approach of bring in the body. But
right.
But do you find that there is also a large demographic in the Bigfoot community that supports that?
Well, sure. Oh, sure.
Well, I don't mean like people that support it, but I mean like Bigfoot researchers who support it.
Right, right. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, my deal is, Chauncey, is that those people have never had anything happen to them is what's happened to me. As far as my dogs, I was a big dog owner, still am, and raised dogs and ran them and different critters, and they kill my dogs. I've had them come up and kill 8 pups, skin them, and eat them right there at the pen. So I lost 13 dogs in a period of probably 3 months one time. My sons couldn't even hunt down there because of the clicking and the beating on the trees and the screaming at them and howling at them. So I wanted to know what it was. I really did. The curiosity factor just killed me. I'd put myself in some situations, which most people probably wouldn't, because I wanted to know exactly what this thing was. And that's basically how I got started, was because of what I saw, the tracks, and then, you know, staying and then having some sightings and listening to the different sounds and things that I'm an old woodsman. You know, I grew up on the river bottoms over in East Texas on the Sabine River. I never saw anything over there or heard anything that I'd consider a Bigfoot, but then again, I didn't know what I was listening for.
So what does one listen for then?
Well, there's just different sounds. I had a guy that claimed that he had a Bigfoot take a stick or his finger and break the lens in his game camera. So, and I knew there was activity there because I'd seen some probably about a mile just east of that place or west of it. And so we drove down there, and just I have the at that time, he was the police chief of a major city here in Shreveport, I mean, in Louisiana. And he was with me, and so we parked, and he showed us where the camera was put, and I walked down this sandy beach, and it was just, I mean, a lot of sand in this bottom, big hardwood that flooded, you know, during the rainy season. And I heard him kind of something like it cleared his throat a couple of times. And I got back to the car, and I asked Mark. I said, Mark, did you hear anything? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I heard. And he described what he heard, and I asked that man that was with us. I said, did you hear anything? Oh, no, I didn't hear anything at all. So my point is, we knew what we were listening for, and he didn't.
Right.
So he didn't pay any attention to what we did. And then Mark saw it. So we just, after years and years, you get accustomed to listening, and you know what you're listening for, and makes a big difference. I mean, a lot of people probably miss things that they shouldn't miss, and probably a lot of times they make stuff up that they hear that's not a Bigfoot.
Right, right. So you're in Louisiana, right?
Yes, right.
So one of the Bigfoot sort of legends is the skunk ape. Is that something that you associate, and that seems to be from the South mainly, is that something that you associate with Bigfoot, and do you make a connection or have you heard these things?
We never thought about it being a skunk ape. We just thought, I remember the first track that I sent off to a guy in the Pacific Northwest, and I can't even remember who the guy was. And he wrote me back, and he said, in an email, and he said, well, you don't have Bigfoot in the South. And I'm thinking to myself, hell, I got a 19 and a half inch track. It looks like a Bigfoot to me.
It is so, a Bigfoot. I mean, that is for sure.
25 years ago, the ignorance prevailed in the Pacific Northwest. We're the only people that have a Bigfoot, and you guys have something else.
Right.
So I don't know what it is. You know, I have 3-toed tracks, 5-toed tracks. I found 4-toed tracks. I mean, I had a guy in the panhandle of Texas that had 6-toed tracks. So, I mean, what causes that? And we think inbreeding.
Right, right. Actually, that's kind of what came to my mind first, too. It's not exactly like they have a
large population.
A large population, or somebody telling them that they shouldn't.
That's right. Well, right. Now that you mentioned that population-wise, these people, that these experts that claim there's only several thousand for breeding purposes, they have no clue what they're talking about. I mean, there's several thousand just in this area that I'm at. I mean, I can take you almost any day and show you tracks, almost any day, on these rivers. And I may have to look a while, and I mean, we may have to walk a while, but I can certainly show them. I mean, they're there of all sizes. And something that we've been finding a lot of is a lot of the smaller tracks. We used to never find, you know, the juvenile track.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're finding 6- and 7-inch, 8-inch tracks that we used to never find.
So from watching your show and reading up on you guys, it seems like a lot of locals in your area, this is a common belief among a lot of the locals, and that they see them as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the habituators claim that they feed them, and they might. I don't know if they intentionally feed them. Maybe they're putting food out, and something gets the food, and they think it's a Bigfoot, and that happens. But, over in East Texas, there was a group that was doing that, and they had Bigfoot activity. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it pretty much got out of hand. There was some video of them, and I think MK Davis has quite a bit of video on them. And of course, that's some type of communication. People might say it's a language. I think it's just a matter of communication back and forth. Mimicry. when the man died, his wife didn't want anything to do with him. So she quit feeding him. But they used to feed him on a regular basis.
It seems a little dangerous.
But, I mean, there's one in video that looks like it's got to be, you know, 14 to 16 feet tall. It's real slender. And then, again, I've got one from south of me. It looks like a female holding a young one that's about 12 foot tall. So real slender. And I've never seen one that big. I mean, most of them that I've seen, maybe 7 or 7.5 foot tall, you know, kind of, maybe a couple of them are kind of robust. But what I mean by, you know, kind of like Patty, you know, the robustness of her.
Right.
But most of them are body shape, bodybuilders.
Right. Okay, well, Jim, we're coming up on the commercial break. It'll be just a couple few minutes. I hope you'll stick around, and I got more questions for you after the break. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Jim Lansdale.
One, two, three, four. Hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill, hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill. He went out tiger hunting with his elephant.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
It's time to celebrate with Anderson Explodes, Pam Tillis and Amy Clausen on July 3rd at the Shasta District Fair. Brought to you by the McConnell Foundation, Redding Kia, Sierra Pacific Industries, KRCR, Chronic Disaster Services, and this radio station. Admission is free, so come on down. Gates open at 4 p.m. Music starts at 7:30. Fireworks at 10 p.m. Food and drinks are available, including the annual 4-H FFA barbecue. Parking is just $4. See you July 3rd at Anderson Explodes.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Murders, riots, violence, terrorism, hatred, racism, all result from a failed liberal progressive ideology. When you take pliable minds and instill violent, hate-filled rhetoric into them, you create mentally unstable individuals. Understand, there are evil people in this world who use their religion and beliefs as justification for their violent, evil actions. Your best protection from this corrupt ideology is having a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland with our guest Jim Lansdale from the Destination America show, Killing Bigfoot. So I guess the big question here, you know, that you probably get hit with a lot, Jim, is why kill it?
Well, there's several reasons. And first off, let me explain this. We're not just out to kill a Bigfoot. We could have already killed a female and a young, a juvenile.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain male animals that come around people's homes and kill their dogs or raid their chicken pen, kill their cats, their geese. You name it, they kill it. They harass these people to no end. I mean, when you're afraid to walk to your mailbox during the day because of a Bigfoot, then something needs to be done. And so what we do, that's the ones we hunt are the nuisance Bigfoot. And they need to be eradicated. And here's the thing. If they're brave enough to do what they do now, it's just a matter of time before they're brave enough before they can actually cause physical harm or kill someone. And that's what we're afraid of. I've actually seen them run from people's houses. I've had them follow me down there. I took pictures of them following me. They're brazen. And not all of them are like that. There's just a few that are like that. But, we've traveled all over this country, and so we know that Louisiana and East Texas are not the only places that are like that.
Yeah, I've of course, being interested in the topics that I'm interested in, I've watched a lot of shows about this sort of thing, and most of them have somewhat benign Bigfoot sightings, it seems to me. But I do remember one where the people were, like, trapped in their house, and they had to put screws through a board and flip it over in front of the doorway, and a Bigfoot ended up stepping on it, and they actually got the blood and hair from that sucker trying to get into him, mm-hmm. and had that analyzed, and, it, as it is common, the analyzing doesn't always turn out. So a lot of the reason why you feel that hunting it is your plan is because in your area they are a nuisance.
Well, yeah, the ones that we hunt are aggressive animals. I mean, we're not just going out hunting Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I know where some are. Or I think I know where a male is now, and he hasn't caused anybody any problems, so he's not any concern of ours.
I see.
But ones that we hunt are the ones that are the nuisance animal that, when you start taking pictures of a Bigfoot's tracks at your windows, your bedroom windows, and you're throwing rocks and beating on the side of your house, and scaring the kids and the grandkids can't go out. I mean, even one of the boys, the older boys, was actually chased by a Bigfoot and claimed he was and scared him to death. And, something needs to be done. And people say, well, if the Bigfoot wanted him, he could have caught him. And I do agree with that. But why would the Bigfoot chase him to begin with?
Right.
And that's my point. Why?
Right.
He has no right to do that. I mean, we're talking, we're going to equate this down to Africa. We got a lion chasing some kid,
Right.
Whether he catches him or not is immaterial. He was catching him, and if he caught him, he could kill him. Same thing with a Bigfoot. He could kill him if he wanted to. If he caught him, he could kill him.
Right. How intelligent do you think these animals are, when it comes to tracking them? And so they're so hard to find.
Right.
Is it because they're just incredibly reclusive, or is it because they are smart enough to not be found?
Well, it's a combination of things. And by some of the teepees and things that I've seen that's built over a period of time and years, and I would say they're built probably about 10 to a 12-year-old kid building them, These little old teepees is what it looks like to me, and the little wagon-looking wheels. But they just know to stay hidden from us. I mean, that's just like a deer. They know to stay hidden from us as well.
Right.
Look at bear and cougar. They do the same thing. I mean, you can walk right by any of these animals that I just mentioned, and they'll never move, and you'll never see them. We know that there's just thousands of bears. But how many bear sightings do we actually have? And it's very few,
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one outside of the zoo or two.
And I don't know how people Bigfoot hunt there, especially in the area that I was in. A lot of open timber, a beautiful country, but my God, how could you do research there?
Right. So you get a lot of pushback from Bigfoot researchers. What kind of pushback are you getting? Are you getting people showing up to your shows, or are you getting just trolled online, or what does this pushback look like?
Well, the only pushback, really, and you're talking about on the show itself, and really we don't have that much. I'm sure that there's some people that that dislike what we do or attempt to do, but mm-hmm. I don't have anybody get on me, you know, about anything.
I see.
I mean, that is basically my opinion, what needs to be done, and if there are no kills, then that's theirs, and, you know, you go your way and I'll go mine. That doesn't mean that I'm out just trying to, you know, kill every Bigfoot I see, because I'm not going to. Our group is not going to. We could have already done that if we'd wanted to. But ours is about the aggressive Bigfoot and help these people that have aggressive animals around their homes.
So how many reports of these aggressive animals do you get in a given amount of time, let's say a year in your area?
Well, in my area alone, I mean, I get, I don't know, I would say depending on the year, sometimes three, sometimes six, you know. And then here's the deal. The time, it's time consuming to actually go and actually investigate
reports, because you have to spend many hours there. And because I don't know what's going on, all I do is just get this person's word. And what he considers aggressive may not be aggressive. Then again, it may be overly aggressive. So what I have to do is spend a considerable amount of time in these areas before I'll even say we need to hunt this animal.
The rest of our group is like that. I mean, you just have to spend a lot of time. But we get them, we do get, periodically, we do get reports of aggressive animals, and we do travel.
I see. So what is, are there any reports of a Bigfoot actually attacking a person, you know, like physically harming or running off with a baby or, you know, I don't know.
None that I know of. Now I have a man, an older black man and lady, and they may even be dead by now, but years ago, I was told.
Talked to me, this is third party, that a Bigfoot came and stole one of their little girls. Now, were they dead or not, I don't know, because I went to the man's house and knocked on his door, and they would have nothing to say to me about it at all.
I see. And,
but, yeah, I guess it's possible that it happens. I think you get these reports from people disappearing. I mean, I hear them all the time.
Reports about people, you know, being killed, and now how accurate they are, I don't know.
Hmm.
You know, your police officer, your and your sheriff's department, they're not going to tell you a Bigfoot killed something. You know, they may say a bear or a cougar, but they're not going to see a Bigfoot.
So, you know, here's a big question that the skeptics ask. And seeing how you, you know, are saying that there's so much activity in your area, so the big skeptic question would be, why haven't we found any sort of body that died of natural causes, or why don't we really have any credible evidence of the Bigfoot? Or do we have credible evidence that maybe the media has squashed?
Well, there's credible evidence as far as DNA is concerned. The thing about it is there's just no primers developed that will tell us exactly what it is. They say it's this and they say it's that, and they're not real certain what it is or what it's related to one way or the other. I mean, if we hadn't had primers for chimpanzees, in their DNA, well, we'd say, well, this thing is just almost a human, you know, other than the hair and the non-opposable thumb. But, and that's the way these are here. I mean, we have, yeah, we've provided blood and hair and of course, tracks. You name it, we've done it.
So when you say a primer, you mean having, like, the body in order to say this is what the DNA comes from?
Well, yeah.
To compare it to.
Something to go by. Something definite that the scientists could say, we know where this came from.
Right.
And we have extracted this from this particular animal. And I can tell you right now, all the skeptics, they're interested in it. They know. Most of them, I would say, 90% of the people in the United States or even the Bigfoot community, they know that there has to be one on a slab for identification. And, you know, there's always the fear that they could die out and we'd never know what they were.
Right.
Is that what they want? Or do they want us to try to have protect, you know, what they did with Spotted Owl in California? What would they do for a Bigfoot here in the South?
I see. So how did you get approached for the show?
Peter contacted us, as a matter of fact. Hmm. And we did a little deal for him and sent it back to him. And then we didn't hear from him for a couple of years. And he told us the reason being is that none of the networks were interested in Bigfoot at the time. Had nothing to do with kill or no kill. It was just that they weren't interested in Bigfoot at the time. And just out of the blue, he contacted us again, and we've been together now 5 years, I guess, something like that, 4 or 5.
All right. Well, Jim, we're coming up on our very last commercial break. I hope you'll stick with us. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with guest Jim Lansdale from the Destination America show, Killing Bigfoot. We'll be right back.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. It's been a long year and graduation is just around the corner. After all that hard work, a nice summer break is well deserved. But wait, did you know that by taking a few classes at Shasta College this summer, you can get a jump start on your college education? Shasta College has more for you. More classes so you can graduate faster. More programs so you can choose your perfect career path. More flexibility to work around your busy life schedule. And more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and we've made it easier than ever for you to register. Call 242-7650 to get started and get a jump on your future career with summer classes at Shasta College. The world is full of endless possibilities, and Shasta College is here to help you begin your dream and secure your future. It's your life, your path, and your college. We just help you bring it all together. Get your jump start at Shasta College. Register today at 242-7650.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Jim Lansdale from the Destination America show, Killing Bigfoot. Jim, I wanted to ask you, with all your involvement in sightings of Bigfoot, what about famous sightings of Bigfoot, you know, like the Patterson-Gimlin film. Have you seen this, and do you think that that is accurate and what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, I've looked at that film many times, and that is a real film.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out a bit there, Jim.
That's a real Sasquatch, a real Bigfoot. There is no doubt.
So that is an accurate when you're telling us of what you're seeing in your area, that is an accurate
Right. Well, the bigger ones like that, the robust ones, we don't see them. They're not quite that big. Mm-hmm. But I have seen some that are similar to that as far as being the that big barrel-chested type. And, yeah, that fits the bill. That's what I would consider a Bigfoot.
I see. So how close have you come to getting one of these?
To actually harvest?
Yeah,
Or just one come close to me?
No. To actually killing one to bring in.
2003, we shot one over a deer carcass. I'd been feeding them for a long time. I had three males that were down there. Two of them were on the north side. One of them was on the west side. And the one from the west came and actually was belly crawling up, reached down, grabbed the snout of the deer, and the guy shot him in the back. And we found blood and so forth and mucus. The lab in Oklahoma said it was the same grouping as the gorilla, chimpanzee, bonobo, and orangutan.
Really?
And we never did find the corpse.
Really?
Or the body.
You know, it's really that, you know, I personally, I want to believe a lot of this stuff, but, you know, having little experience myself, I am... skeptical. I think that word carries a negative connotation, but I'm open to it, but skeptical, going like, hey, you know, I want to see some proof, you know, find that some of this, DNA evidence when they bring it in and the hair evidence, you know, sometimes when they're doing it, you know, it's definitely an eyebrow raise for me.
Right. Well, you know, the thing about it is we don't even do that anymore. We know there's nothing there for it to identify. So it's a waste of my time and money or our time and money to have something sent off. It's just not, I mean, you gotta have a corpse. If you don't have a corpse, there'll never be identification. And regardless of what people say or think, there has got to be a body on a slab. And then once that body is there and science does whatever they have to do, then we know for a fact what this creature is.
Right.
For a fact. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so up here in the Pacific Northwest, I don't know. Sean, do we count as the Pacific Northwest?
No, I don't think so.
All right, up here just south of the Pacific Northwest, where Bigfoot is, you know, a popular topic. You know, a lot of people tend to have sort of fuzzy feelings about the Bigfoot up here.
Though we definitely do have sightings in this area.
But, yeah, we definitely do. Well, that Patterson-Gimlin tape is from up here. And, you know, people tend to have fuzzy feelings about it. And so, I don't know. Like, what would you tell these people when they basically, you know, they're of the opinion that this thing is as smart as a person? And so here you are wanting to go out and potentially shoot this thing that's as smart as a person. And so, you know, how do you rectify that in a conversation?
Okay, well, it gets back down to what I was telling you, that we're not just trying to kill a Bigfoot. We're after these nuisance Bigfoot, okay? It's like this is the criminal element of Bigfootery. All right?
I like that. I like the way you put it. I do
and
like
And that's
that.
What we're hunting. We're not just out to shoot a Bigfoot. I mean, we could have done that. I mean, I could have. That's not what I want to do, you know? And this warm, fuzzy feeling, if they don't want identification, that is solely their business. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I want some type of identification. I want to know what it is. It's beyond curiosity. I want to know what it is. And not only me, but literally millions of people want to know what it is.
Well, that is absolutely true, because your show has definitely piqued a lot of people's interest. So what is the future for your show? Are you guys going to keep going?
The producer, I haven't heard from him in a while. So, you know, Peter's always working on something. Last I heard, he was working. So I don't know.
Right.
I can't tell you anything.
And what about the GCBRO? Is that?
Oh, we're going strong.
You're going strong?
Growing every day. Yeah. I mean, we have many members getting bigger all the time. There's people that agree with what we do. And let me explain something to you. There's some people that are in our group that are no-kill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I mean, that's your preference. That's your belief. And we don't try to beat somebody over their head and try to convince them of anything. You know, it's whatever they believe is fine with me, as long as it's not some type of hocus pocus, you know, something that can disappear on me and appear, comes from another dimension and vibrates at a certain speed that we can't, you know, that's fine. I know a lot of people believe that. I mean, that's, you know, and I can tell you the ones that believe that are the researchers that get into this, have had some type of experience or sighting, and then all of a sudden they become a researcher, and it gets finding evidence is very difficult to find. And so it's easy to say, well, it just disappears or it goes to another dimension, you know? So,
right. Yeah, I've always found that theory to be interesting, but also incredibly convenient.
I find it kind of interesting as well, but I think it's, you know, far-fetched, just the people that are not really researchers. I mean, what I'd consider is a person that sits on the computer, you know, and not really out in the woods. And, you know, here's the key. If you want to have a sighting, you have to go where they are. I mean, it's just like fishing. Because you see water on the side of the road doesn't mean that there's a fish in that water.
Right.
Same thing with woods, because you see woods doesn't mean there's a Bigfoot there. There's groups of these animals in certain areas. And if you find those areas, your chance of having a sighting grows tremendously. I mean, I won't go to a place that's not that doesn't have a lot of sighting reports. I will not go. I'm not spending my time there in a dead hole. I mean, I've heard them before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been roared at, growled at, screamed at, had stuff thrown at me. You name it, I probably had it, and I'm not interested in that. I want to have the sighting. I want to see if that's the animal that we need to harvest, the one that's being aggressive and killing people with dogs, cats, and livestock.
Right. Okay, well, Jim, we're coming up on the end of the show here. Can you tell our listeners how they can find out more about you?
Well, you can go to our website. It's gcbro.com. There's quite a bit of reading there. It's considered... I know Bobby runs the website. I don't have anything to do with that. Or you can look us up on Facebook under Killing Bigfoot or the GCBRO. We have different websites. I know I have a Facebook page. It's just Jim Lansdell. No big deal. I've got a few pictures there. I need to update that as well. Periodically, Louisiana Bigfoot is one of them that I run, and I put some pictures up there every now and then of interesting things that pictures of a Bigfoot that I have, or tracks, or so forth and so on. So don't be afraid if you see me and you want to look at some of the stuff. I'll certainly, you know, friend you out, let you look.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being a guest on our show. I've really enjoyed talking to you and learning more about what, you know, the dangers of the Bigfoot and, you know, learning more about this other side of Bigfoot research. I really appreciate you coming on the show and letting us know about it.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. You've been listening to Jim Lansdale on Radio Wasteland from the Destination America show, Killing Bigfoot.
Take it on me. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington.
We can never underestimate the blinding power of celebrity.
That reaction from women's rights attorney Gloria Allred today after a mistrial was declared in the Bill Cosby sexual assault trial. And she had some advice for the prosecutors moving forward, who say they will retry the 79-year-old comedian.
If the court allows more accusers to testify next time, it might make a difference.
Cosby spokesman Andrew Wyatt says the mistrial should be a lesson to Allred and others.
With all those attorneys who conspired like Gloria Allred, tell them to go back to law school and take another class.